Anyway, we're changing things up a little bit today, and we have some very special guests today. So, Bryce, thank you again for blessing us indeed for this.
So, yeah, thanks for inviting me here this morning. I'm excited to get to play for you guys. So, do you guys stand and sing? If you want to stand, if you want to sit, be my guest, but let's sing together.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless hearts. You lead us by still waters and to mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. So remember your people. Remember your children. Your promise, O God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Of all creation, of the water, earth, and skies, the heavens are your tabernacle, and glory to the Lord on on high, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. You're the Lord of heaven and earth. You're the Lord of heaven and earth. And early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. You're the Lord of heaven and earth. You're the Lord of heaven and earth. And hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. You're the God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are whole. Declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. You're the God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your we should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so Hallelujah, Jesus. Christ is risen from the dead. ruling over death by death. Come away, come away, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead. We are one with Him again. Come away, come away, come and rise up from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory?
Heavenly Father, we just lift this time up to You, and You are a living God. You have risen from the grave, and Lord, You are with us even this day. Thank You for setting Your temple up within sight us. You are so intimate, and Father, sometimes it's a learning process for us, but continue to do that. Continue to show us that we are Your people and that we serve You. I got a million of them. All right, if we can find our seats. God is so good. Great testimonies of things that are going on in our body as well as the community. Again, we are thankful that God has our women up at a retreat where I just hear God is really moving on hearts and resetting minds and doing all those wonderful things He does. With that, we're going to have the Gideons do a presentation for us, and Brother Mike Davis and Ken Baylor are here. Ken is out back a little bit there, and we do have a table set up. And also, if you feel led by God to give a donation, please give that to Ken back there. And we'd love to bless them indeed. We thank them for all the hard work and all that.
And Holly's marriage was on the rocks. They decided to take some time away from their home in Arizona to try and reconcile their differences. So they headed to Sacramento where they had family and friends, but they fought all the way. In Sacramento, they checked into separate rooms. The next morning, they checked out and went their separate ways. Dan back to Arizona, Holly to her parents in Nevada. But when Holly left, she took something that didn't belong to her. She took a Bible placed by the Gideons. She began to read it, realized that God had created the family and wanted them together. So a short time later, she called Dan on the phone and said, "Dan, when I left the room the other day, I stole the Bible and I've been reading it, and I think God wants us together." Well, after a long pause on the other end of the line, Dan said, "Holly, When I left my room, I stole the Bible in my room, too. And I've been reading it, and I know we can get back together. They got back together a short time later, gave their lives to Jesus, because there was a Bible in each of their rooms, not just in one of their rooms. So we want to thank you, church. You make these testimonies possible and this ministry possible. Giddings were started in 1899. Association of Business and Professional Christians and our wives joined a couple years later. And we began our distributions in 1908, over 100 years ago. And just last fall, we distributed our 2.5 billionth scripture. That's billion with a B. And we're looking forward to getting to that 3 billion mark soon. We're comprised of some 250,000 members in 200 countries, territories, and possessions around the world. We don't send our missionary people as missionaries out internationally, but we train up our own people to be missionaries here where they live. And we partner with the Church for Integrity, Influence, and Impact in our local communities. We're fellow believers of Protestant evangelical churches, putting our faith and God-given gifts into action for Jesus to influence our homes, workplaces, churches, and communities. And we make scriptures available in a lot of different places, but especially where there's a lot of traffic, people moving, so that people can be touched by the transforming word of God. We go to hotels and motels, medical facilities of all types. We go to the armed forces, we go to jails, and we go to students. A man checked into a San Francisco hotel, went up to his room, started unpacking, putting things around the room that were in the bag, including a vial of poison he put on the nightstand. He went back to putting things around the room, and he came back to the vial of poison, and he realized it was sitting on a Bible. He picked it up and he started reading. He read Psalm 126. He read John 14. He put the Bible down. He picked up the vial of poison. He threw it out the window. He got down on his knees by the bed and gave his life to Jesus. That was San Francisco 1915, church. 7 years after we started putting Bibles in hotels. But the passion that drives the ministry is really the why, is where it's found in 2 Peter 3. God says he's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance and be saved. Amen? We're making a global impact on a local basis here, and we partner with churches everywhere, this church particularly, so that we can reach everyone everywhere in those 200 countries I mentioned earlier. Because in many places where the Giddings International is organized, people may never own or even see a Bible unless one is given to them free. Free. Many people think the hotel Bibles is the only thing that we distribute. That's 5% of our scriptures worldwide every year. 5%. Over 75% of these little pocket Bibles that go to students in middle schools, high schools, and colleges, because we know that over 80% of those that come to Christ do it by their last educational year. The Eureka camp here just before COVID, we're kind of catching up, but just before COVID went to the high schools. I think 300 at Fortuna High School, 700 at Eureka High School, even 50 at Little Ferndale High School. And to the rescue mission as well as the fair. Little Aiden was an 8-year-old boy who was in a tragic four-wheel accident. And just before he passed away and that happened, his mom visited him at school. And like moms do, kind of check the desks and see what's there and what's going on with little Aiden. And she found this little pocket testament that her husband had. So she said, "Aiden, why did you bring your dad's Bible to school? What for?" He said, "Not all my friends know about Jesus, and I have to tell them. Not all my friends know about Jesus, and I have to tell them." 8 years old, church. So how can you partner with us in this ministry? First and foremost is to pray. When the wall came down, the Giddings were some of the first responders there, distributing 600,000 scriptures a month. Bibles like this that last about 5 years in this country were having to be replaced every 2 weeks in Russia. We have been in communist China, but we were shut out of that a couple years ago, and we'd placed about 5 million scriptures there. Pray the door to communist China opens so we can go back in. And pray, of course, for the Eureka Camp that will be doing these high school distributions in the next couple weeks all over the Humboldt-Eureka area. Second, talk to us after the service, either Ken and I. We're always looking for men that are Christian, good Christian men, professional businessmen and their wives that can do the work of the ministry. It used to be where just the men stood at the schools because there was sometimes little problems with parents, but now our wives can go with us. But there's all sorts of these places that we go to that our Gideons can go and their wives can go as well. Just remember, we're looking for the hands and feet of Jesus here in the Humboldt, Eureka, Fortuna area, because we know the mission fields are just outside those doors. Amen. I've seen students after distribution sitting on a bench or sitting on a curb with their face in this book. They can't get out of it. You know they've never seen it before. The Holy Spirit's already got a hold of them. It's just glorious to see that happen, and that happens all the time, church. Now, I started this ministry 29 years ago because I wanted to put the Word of God in the hands of everyone. Everyone, especially students. We know what's happening to students nowadays at all levels. It's not good. Third, you can give financially. Remember, 100% of your giving prints and transports these testaments and Bibles, and then we place them for free, one at a time. One at a time. We're going to be at the back at a table, and if you'd like to give, you can give cash or check. We just appreciate your partnership with us. Remember this, though, that of those 200 countries, there's only about 16 can pay for their own people to have Bibles from donations. The other 184 countries depend upon America the Beautiful. We do Bible blitzes. We did one in El Salvador a few years ago, and one day the men were doing a distribution, and the morning distribution went well. They came back for the afternoon distribution, and there were a lot of pages torn out of the testaments. They picked them up, did the afternoon distribution, and left. And on the way home, they stopped at a little store alongside the road, and they got out of their car and approached the doorway, and there was a young man in the doorway crying. He said to them, "Can you tell me more about this man named Jesus?" A couple stayed with him, a couple went in the store, and in the store they found a man, and he was crying as well. He said, "That boy out there is my son, and I've never seen him cry before. You've got to tell me more about Jesus." That day, father and son came to know Christ as Savior and Lord because of one page from a 300-page testament. Go figure, church. Powerful. When you partner with us, you're actually there in one way or another. You've made the testimonies possible, and we thank you again for that. Isaiah 55:11 tells us God's word does not return void. As I close, I want to take you to Nigeria, West Africa. A beautiful young woman walked into a hotel, got keys, went to her room. The next morning, housekeeping went to her room to see if she needed anything. No answer. The second morning, they went. No answer. Housekeeping went to the manager and said, "What do we do?" He said, "Well, if she doesn't come out of her room that third morning, we're going to have to get a key and go in and check on her." Well, the third morning she did come out of her room. The third morning she came out of her room, went to the manager of the hotel and said, "I want to thank you. I'm Muslim, unmarried, and pregnant. The punishment my family has for me is stoning me to death. I've come to your hotel from my home many, many miles away to take my own life. But when I got into the room, I found this Bible there. For the last 2 days, I've been reading this book, and I've fallen in love with Jesus. I've committed to him to be my Lord and Savior, and now I'm ready to go home and take the penalty of stoning that my family has for me, because I know I'll spend eternity with Jesus." Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Get us the word, church, and we'll reach the lost together. Thank you so much. It's been a privilege to be part of your worship service. We'll be here after the service if you'd like to give or chat or find out about another program we have, Friends of Gideon's, where you can buy your own testaments just like we have at our own price. So again, thank you so much and God bless you.
So I want to thank Mike. Mike actually was coming up to see family and so forth, and he didn't want to waste a moment, and he made a commitment, called us, and praise God for that. Even on his vacation to go see family, he's still serving Christ, and El Salvador has turned upside down from where it was, total destruction to hope again. So God's word is getting through that community and having an impact. So with that, I'd like to welcome my brother. Come on up there, Brian. And he has a word that God has shared with him, and I'm excited to hear about it.
Thank you. And God, that you would encourage us and strengthen us, Lord, to have hope in you in these very, very, very dark times. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have this entitled, I don't put together slideshows very well. So, but I do have a short video that I'm going to start with that I made quite some time back, a couple of years ago, I think.
What do you think of my lawn?
Okay. It's pretty. And yeah, I'll come over here. Just mowed it. It's beautiful, huh? Spent some time fertilizing and watering and tending to it. But, you know, there's a scripture comes to my mind. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we all have sin. And every lawn has its problems. So I'm going to show you something. I'll narrate through. From a distance, this lawn looks absolutely just perfect, doesn't it? But when you take a walk on it and you look closely, it's got some weeds. And if I weed and feeded this, I'd probably lose most of the green that you're looking at. And then the enemy came in and dug a hole. Sometimes the enemy attacks us and digs a little hole in our lives. And this just happened to be my dog. And oh look, another hole. So I'm going to have to put some dirt there and maybe some more seed. Or I could just ignore it and not really care. But this is all brand new here. It's not even a year old, and look, already it's starting to get weeds. But from a distance, you can't tell. And if you look right here, look, there's some dead spots. Dead spots. And discoloring. And if you look over here, there's even more dead spots. Look at that. Looks like I got some work to do. So the question is, do you think any differently of my lawn now that you've seen it up close? Same as with our lives. Oftentimes from a distance, you know, we look good. People say, Brian, you're a great man, you know, a great Christian man. Well, if you took the time and started walking around on me, you might see some dead spots. You might see some holes where the enemies come in and dug me out a little bit. Sometimes we project an image. I'm not saying I do, but I think we all do in some way. We project an image for other people to see. And it's the same with Adam and Eve when they were in the Garden of Eden. They sinned. They ultimately hid from God, but before that they sowed for themselves fig leaves to cover their nakedness. And I think about my own life. Have I woven fig leaves on areas of my life? You know, kind of looking at my life. You know, I could take care of those dead spots in just minutes. Just minutes if I went and got some of that green lawn paint. But that just covers it up. So I don't know. I was just mowing the lawn thinking about this stuff. And, you know, I got dead spots in my life. And I got some discoloration. Got a few weeds, too. But, you know, it's the same with me with this lawn right here. Is I'm going to tend to it. I'm going to get the weeds out. I'm going to put fresh seed on areas of this lawn. I might even till the dirt a little bit. Maybe put some fresh dirt in on top. And wait for the new growth. And the same in my life. You know, every morning I get up and read my Bible. Sometimes I share scriptures on Facebook. And what I'm doing is I'm putting seed in. And I'm always contemplating my life and maybe the soil of my heart. Maybe there's some areas in my heart that it's too hard where the seed can't grow. And only God can create things in my life to till up that soil, maybe fertilize that soil. But he's always faithful to tend to the garden of my heart and to put some fresh seed in there, knowing that through this process of life, one thing I'll have to say is never, ever, ever give up. Ever. And I could go for a long time just talking, but I'm going to end it for here. So, words on the way out, I would say, stay strong, patriots, Christians. The best is yet to come.
I had to figure out how to shut that thing off, too. When I was a little boy, I grew up in Metropolitan, you know, where Chapman's Gym Mineral is. Down there's a farmhouse. We had a trailer house in behind there. Excuse me. Getting over sickness. And I can remember my Uncle Albert had a cow dog. His name was Tiger. This isn't part of my message. And I loved that cow dog, Tiger. It was one of those grab-at-your-heels kind of dogs. And Albert was driving his flatbed truck down the road, and I was kind of on the corner where the road came around by the barn. And Tiger was always right there trying to bite the wheels of that truck. Well, this time, Tiger got too close, and right in front of me, Tiger was gone. And I remember crying from the deepest part of my soul. And I went home and I had a little orange Gideon's Bible. And I can remember tearing off the corner of a piece of paper and writing on it, God, please save Tiger. In Jesus' name. And I tucked that in my little orange Gideon's Bible. So Gideon's had an influence. Didn't even know who they were. Had an influence. A little orange Gideon's Bible. When I was just a little boy. Where I got it, I don't know. God's faithful. He loves us. That shows us how much he loves us. I put my glasses on. Genesis 2, 25, I think is where I'm at. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Genesis 3, 7 through 8. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from among the presence of the Lord God among the garden. And God calls to him, where are you? You know, and they're hidden. I remember whenever we first got this home, and I looked at the yard, and it was not anything like that. It was a little green up front, but then it sloped down to like 80 feet down to a creek. And I remember when first seeing that yard, I thought, in my mind, I had a concept as is more of a level yard with maybe a fence and green grass. And so with a lot of hard work and time and effort that I put into that, I brought in dump trucks of dirt, and I rented a thing that you get behind, and it has the bucket in the front, and boy, was that ever fun. Just making it as smooth as I possibly could. And I didn't have any way to really smooth it until I had a little lawnmower, a little riding lawnmower. I still do, but it doesn't run. And I took a piece of chain link fence that has the framework around it, and I went down to the hardware store and bought a box of bolts about that long, and I drilled holes all the way through both ends, the top and the bottom of that piece of corrugated fencing, and tightened them in there so they hung out about that far on both pieces. And I wrapped a chain on it and chained it to the back of my tractor and started pulling. Now, mind you, this dirt came from some of the finest. The top soil was the blackest, ready, just beautiful stuff. But when I put that little thing on the back of my, and I started driving around on my yard to smooth it, and man, it turned out to be really smooth. I noticed that there were clumps and clumps of roots, aluminum cans, toys, old toys, little toy. I put three tires on it too, so it really set down on it. And it was the craziest thing. I was getting rocks that were coming to the surface. And I went over and over and over and over that dirt to get it ready to plant seed. And then finally came the day to plant seed. And I put a lot of seed. The whole yard was white kind of. And I took my hand rake out and went and spent time. But you know, in somewhere along the way, some enemy of mine came in and planted weed seeds for me. But then I did read on the bag of seed, it says, you know, something percent weeds or something. I thought, well, yeah, I guess you don't really get what you pay for unless you pay for a whole lot for it. So many people in the world are living their lives hiding behind self-fashion coverings in order to conceal the cheapness of the character. Being naked, even in the presence of God, is an uncomfortable and vulnerable experience. When the real man is exposed in the light of the Almighty, self is no more. The fear of finding out who we really are is too painful for us to bear, much less allowing someone else to see us for who we really are. The very fibers that make up our character are unveiled, and we stand before God and man without defense. Hiding is natural. Being clothed in Christ is supernatural. We oftentimes, I know I speak pretty much, I might say we, but I'm going to speak for myself, have throughout my life projected an image to conceal who I really was, even in Christ. Kind of a high-gloss, cheap merchandise thing. I remember years ago, I worked at Vern's Furniture, and I was a delivery guy, was the head driver. And so one morning I got there, and Doug said, we're going to deliver that oak table over in the other building. So I had to go over there and get the table and put it in the truck. But when I walked in the room, there was two oak tables, exactly identical, nothing different. I think the chairs on one had a little different design, but they were both identical. One was $350, and the other one was like $1,300. And so I get a hold of Doug. I say, which one? He says, the $300 one. And I thought, well, what is the difference between these two tables? Why is one $300 and the other one $1,300? Well, part of my job was to flip it on its side and unbolt the pedestal it was on so we could get it out the door. And when I flipped it up on its edge, I realized that that table had a veneer finish, and it was presswood that had been glued together. And, of course, I went over to the other one, and it was solid oak. So it is oftentimes in our lives we put on a veneer, a good look, for other people to see, while at the same time hiding the imperfections of our very character. Prostitutes. There's a girl in Eureka. I'm the director of the rescue mission. And I get the opportunity to speak with a lot of people on the streets that don't know Jesus. And there's one girl in particular. You can tell she's been on the street for a while, okay? However, she wears wigs, different colors sometimes, and she will sit on the sidewalk and do her makeup. And so when you see her, when she doesn't have any makeup on, She's just normal, natural. But when I see the makeup, I think, wow, she's actually, it kind of brings out her facial features, and she's kind of cute. But in having many heart-to-hearts with her, she's broken, you know, and there's a proverb, but it kind of goes something like, you know, the body, well, it is a proverb. I derive this from the proverb. The body cannot bear a broken spirit, but a born-again spirit can bear a broken body. And on the streets in Eureka, there are a lot of people that have broken spirits, and it shows on the outside. And it's a really sad ministry, oftentimes. I see and continue to see people that I get calls from the coroner all the time. And as a matter of fact, I just recently got a call from a coroner. One of our graduates who had COPD, thank God he wasn't on drugs, he passed away. Con artists, slick and sophisticated, have a really good talk, but what are they after? They're after your money. Do we see a lot of that today? I do. I see a lot of people online saying, buy gold, buy silver, buy gold, buy silver. Well, my thought is if I think the world is going the way it's going, you can't eat gold and silver. Let's put it that way. and me now, I've been the executive director for about 11 years in September. I think it's 11 years. And I have been through a lot. I've learned a lot. And one of those things is hiring people. And so I can get a resume. A lot of times people will send me a resume, you know, and I'll set up a time for an interview. And I have hired people on the polish of their resume. Really, I mean, they're just qualified. It looks like, my goodness sakes, why is this person even looking for a job? They ought to be having a job. Any people ought to be calling for them. And I've had a couple of times that I've hired people on the polish of their resume and meeting with them, and they seem to be nice. They present themselves well. They come in nicely dressed. Their breath don't stink. All kinds of good stuff. But later find out that they don't show up to work on time. And they may be working in our thrift store, and we have a camera system, and come to find out they stuck something in their pocket and it happened to belong to somebody else. Well, I'm going to go into the next one. I'm not going to mention the name of this person. Some may know who it is, but he's passed away now. Religious leaders, fancy clothes, big names, charismatic personalities, have letters before and after their names. But some of them are corrupt, and sometimes you never know. So this person was an apologist, very well known. As a matter of fact, we had systematic theology going on in our rescue mission for a while in classes, and one of the teachers that our systematic theology teacher would show was this person. And the writings and the apologists, everything that he did was just spot on. Well, in May of 2020, he passed away. September of 2020, three women who worked in spas came forward accusing him of sexual misconduct. A full investigation ensued. From the magazine Christianity Today, January 5th, 2021 edition. When he died in May, he was praised for his faithful witness, his commitment to the truth, and his personal integrity. Now it is clear that offstage, the man so long admired by Christians around the world, abused numerous women and manipulated those around him to turn a blind eye. Is our life like that? I think about my own life. You know, I do. When I was a kid, growing in older, impressionable years, I liked certain things of certain people. And my cousin Kelly, I can remember, he was older than me, and for whatever reason, I don't know why, he would like grab things with his fingers, with these fingers, instead of grabbing something like that. And so I saw that trait in my cousin, and I can remember actually doing that because I saw that it was cool. I like that. I don't know, it was just like really cool, you know, Kelly did that. And he wore bell-bottom pants, And then they would take the seam out of the bottom of his pants, and they would be frizzy at the bottom. And so I had to do that. I can remember when my mom always parted my hair on the side, and I looked nice, you know. But then the style came, and I had to part my hair down the middle. And so then it had to be feathered, and had to have the big comb hanging out the back end of it, right? I grew up, and I had my friend Troy Andrews, and I hung around with Troy all the time. And so I saw things about Troy that I liked, and he saw things about me that he liked. And so we kind of like two peas in a pod. People swore we were actually brothers because I was taking upon myself his mannerisms, and he was taking upon himself my mannerisms. And so I lived my life for a long time, many years, eventually coming to a place of wondering, who in the world am I? Who am I? And then I came to Jesus Christ, and I got born again. Roger Sanderson will be here Friday. He and David Johnson led me to Jesus. And so I became a new creation in Christ. But even after that, you know, I started going to the Baptist church, and I loved it. It was teaching. Pastor Andy Brosi was solid. But then one night, I was invited to Tom Galovich's church up on Wabash. I think it was Wabash, right? And there was this guy that not very tall. He was from San Francisco. He came and he got behind the piano, and it was just absolutely glorious. This guy could play the piano and sing like a bird. But let me tell you something. When he got done singing and he got up to the Bible and he started reading the Bible, and then he got down in front, and his name is Forrest Beiser. I don't know if anybody can remember Forrest Beiser. Well, that guy would get up, and man, he would yell and scream, and man, I'm telling you what, and talk the Holy Ghost, and I got to get the Holy Ghost, and boy, I tell you what, I'm gonna be a Pentecostal, and that's what I'm gonna be, a Pentecostal. And so I saw things, and I kept watching Forrest, and he'd come by once in a while, and so I gathered some stuff about Forrest that I wanted for myself, and I wanted to be a Pentecostal. So we started going to the Pentecostal church, and we went up to Ronerville Assembly of God. Anybody remember Ronerville Assembly? Okay, and then there was this guy that came in who would wear orange shoes, purple socks, pink pants, 15 different color tie, and he had this mane like a lion. Anybody remember his name? No. Brent Luck. Oh, yeah. Brent Luck. And Brent, when people were coming up to pray, Brent would go up and touch their head. And man, they'd fall on the floor under the power of the Holy Ghost. And so I wanted that. I wanted to be like Brent. And I can remember one time, I think, I don't remember, somebody here was there. I got my chance, man. I couldn't wait to get on the stage. I couldn't wait to get up in front of people. I wanted to preach. I had a little bit of Forrest Beiser, a little bit of Brent Luck in me. Man, I was ready to roll, you know. And so I can remember, it was a youth thing, I think, one night, and I got up there, and boy, I couldn't wait to cut loose. Boy, I was ready to cut loose. And so I started cutting loose, going to kick the devil out. I'm going to kick the devil out. Well, I ran across the stage, you know, and then I thought, oh, there's a door that led into the back. And I ran down, and I opened that door, and I'm going to kick the devil out. And when I shut that door, I smacked my thumb, and I cut my darn thumb open. And all these years now, I look back on it and I think, how childish. I tried. And you know, my life after that, many of you know my testimony. My life after that, I've been through a lot at my own hand, at my own doing. I've been to prison. I was 38 years old and I was in prison for cooking meth after I'd known Jesus. God takes off the layers over time. When I lived on Metropolitan, my cousin Kelly, who I love so much, he's still alive today. He's such a great guy. I love him. He's the filthiest mouth I've ever heard, though. We had this massive sawdust pile, probably as big as this room, that had been there for years. And you know, you dig down in it, and it turns dark brown, and it's packed really well. Well, Kelly would get in there, and he would make roads. And I can remember because I had real Tonka trucks. You can't get them anymore. These were full metal. And I could lift the thing up with the little black one, and it would do the bucket on it. And so I would play out in the sawdust pile. And there was a time whenever I was praying and going through all of this stuff. Who am I? And when I came to the rescue mission 16 years ago, my first class, and I was finally in a program where they really actually taught the Bible, which was just amazing. And all of that stuff, I had to unlearn a lot in my life in Christ about the power of God, about the Holy Ghost, about the fire of God. It's not about how excited you get. It really is about how level and straight and even you can walk in Christ. It really comes down to that. And God spoke to me very clearly, not audibly, but he said, Brian, do you remember when you were a little boy playing with the Tonka trucks in the sawdust pile? And I remembered that, and I thought, yeah. And he said, I want you to be that little boy. Just be that little boy. Don't be childish, but be that innocent little boy with a Gideon Bible. Be that guy. Let's start over. Well, actually, let's start from the beginning, you know. And so that's kind of when the growth in my life started happening. The truth is, whatever a person is in private, what they believe, what they practice, and have built into their character, determines their public performance. So a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As in water, face reflects face, so the man's heart reveals the man. When charm wears off, you have nothing but character left. The end of Proverbs. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Charm is momentary, but character is constant. Charming conduct that hides poor character will one day fade and reveal the truth beneath. Our lives are formed by our choices, constructed by our words, and then revealed by our character. God does take a walk through the yard of our life and shows things which are good and that which needs some work. He uses his word when we're in private study. It's one of the ways that God does things. He impresses upon us while we're in prayer. He uses other people that we allow to speak into our lives. And there is a difference between speaking to somebody and allowing somebody to speak into somebody. And I have a... God allowed me to be treated unfairly. And I thought, why would you do that? And I think about Jesus. He didn't do anything wrong whatsoever. And they spit on him. They ripped his beard out. They punched him. Hoodwinked him, said, who's hitting you? Prophesy. And then ultimately they put him on a cross. And so when I look back on it, I am so, so grateful today for Dan Ice in my life. Amen. God used him to develop and build my character. I was ready to throw in the towel. I had called my buddy, the sheriff, and asked him, hey, I'm looking at possibly moving on. And I said, do you have anything? He said, Brian, if you leave, I'll make a position for you. And so I called Connie Beck, the director of Health and Human Services, who's still there. And I told her, hey, I'm thinking about leaving. And she said, we have a manager position open, coming open here in the next couple of months. I got a place for you. All right? And so then I was like, okay, well, then I've got an out. But you know what? Then God said, you didn't get this job for yourself, Brian. You were called here by me, and you're not leaving until I say you are. And I thought, okay. That's the way you want it? You're going to have to give me the endurance to withstand this and to hang in there. And boy, did he ever. And then he moved in a supernatural way, and things changed. Today I have a board of directors that are, all of them are ministry-minded. A couple of them have owned businesses. But, boy, what better board to have today than in this world that we're living in right now is people who are prayer warriors. Three of my board members teach at the classes at the mission. So they know everything that's going on down there. Everything is completely, absolutely transparent, and I wouldn't want it any other way. So private study of truth, prayer and fasting, God uses other people to speak into our life. He supernaturally weeds us and allows us to partake in the cleanup. However, he is the only one who can and does make all things new. Hiding is natural, but being clothed in Christ is supernatural. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to find it real quick. Are you guys with me?
Amen.
I haven't lost you, have I? Would you tell me if I lost you?
Yep.
All right. But we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we earnestly groan. Oh, do we earnestly groan today for this new habitation? Don't we? Desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. I refuse to live this life under the circumstances, but the circumstances keep ramping up and ramping up, and the dark cloud keeps coming and coming and coming. And this morning I got up and I looked on my little messenger thing, and somebody who is in the know, who works with special forces in rescuing women and children in the sex trade, he's very tied in. He knows, he sees what's going on, and he does not have the same hope for our country today that he did about a year ago. And just to let you know, I think things are going to get tough. I think they're going to get really tough. But is that going to take us off track? If it should focus us on what the most important thing is a relationship with Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel to the lost, and making disciples, and sending them out, and getting them fired up for Jesus. That's really what all that matters today. Intimate relationship with Jesus is spending time with him privately. Matthew 6:6 says, "But when you pray, go to your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." However, we should remain tender as a child. However, we must not remain childish. I struggle with this. Ask my wife. She says, "Grow up, Peter Pan." And all my life, I heard about Peter Pan, and I saw Peter Pan, and it wasn't until just a few years ago when she said something like that, and she says, "I've said it more than once," I realized that Peter Pan never grew up. I didn't know that. I saw the Robin Williams thing, I think it was, and it was like, no, he was always a kid, and I thought, oh, that was an insult. I get it. So, when you get closer to God, you're a threat to the enemy, and he will attack and try to defeat you. The enemy's strategy is to pollute your mind with ungodly thoughts. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is not easy. That means stop thinking what you're thinking. I love it. I hope I don't get ahead of myself. Adrian Rogers said, the late Adrian Rogers said something that stuck with me for years. He said, "You can't stop the birds from flying over the top of your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair." Am I up? I can't stop the thoughts. It could be a smell. It could be anything. I spraying and cleaning the kitchen, and I've got the new awesome orange spray, and I smell a chemical that was used in manufacturing methamphetamines, a similar smell. And before you know it, I'm mopping my floor, but I'm thinking about when I was in my garage doing stupid stuff trying to make meth. And what happens is, I'll probably get ahead of myself. Is if I think on those past thoughts long enough,
then what happens is I bring the emotions from the past back into the very present. And I experience those past emotions and things, and it can literally dictate what kind of a day that I have today. Most of all, it will literally determine as to whether I'm going to feel like sharing Jesus with somebody or not. And I find that some of the best love it when you come in and share your music, bro. And that makes sense. Is why do we have music before we have the sermon? It's to prepare hearts. And I find that oftentimes I could be listening to, because I listen to a lot of different podcasts, and sometimes I'm just like, God, Lord, I just can't deal with this anymore. This is terrible stuff. Oh, was it far out? It was weird. I was thinking we're going to have an earthquake and I was going to have to stop, but I refuse to stop unless the power goes out, and then I'll just raise my voice. So I forgot what I was saying. So anyway, bringing those past memories and thoughts and emotions into our present, typically, literally, it will stop you from having any joy to share the Lord with somebody else. And for me, oftentimes I listen to these podcasts, a lot of negative stuff. I need to know what's going on. But it can literally cause a depression in my life. And then I'll reach over and I'll hit the radio on my car and I'll listen to some good message Christian music. And I'm telling you, just because I love listening to the words, and if they're not good words, I shut it off. But it just instantly brings me out and brings me back, because it captures those thoughts. It brings those thoughts into captivity so that I can experience what God wants me to think about, the good things, pure things, love, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all of that good stuff. And it's not easy. It's not easy, especially in the ministry that I'm in. I mean, you go down to the rescue mission on 2nd Street, and you go, all right, praise the Lord. It's like, ooh, it's tough. There's people in there hurting. There's people hurting bad. And any given day, you could come down any day of the week and you could walk out into our day use area. And I kid you not, you would say, these people need to be in a mental institution because many of them are whacked. How do you deal with them? Well, you love on them. You get to know their story. If they can have any conversation, you meet them where they're at. You meet them where they're at. And that's where it's really at, is reaching people for Jesus. Some may not be able to. They're mentally incapable of praying a prayer. And I don't know if they mean it, but God knows. And His grace is sufficient for us. It is. Depression is one of His ideal weapons. Depression debilitates. And, I think because meth was my most favorite drug ever in the whole world was because I always had like a low iron deficiency. I think my mom said I was anemic or borderline anemic. And so that was just really didn't have any energy when I was young. And as a result of that, I was just like, blah. And really, meth just brought me right up out of it, you know. And so it was, for me, that was the answer to my problems after I started doing it, because I had tremendous amounts of energy, but darn it, I had to steal other people's stuff to keep doing it, so that was my problem. The enemy causes anxiety, and anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. And so hang around people that have good words. Am I okay on time? Okay. The enemy will remind you of your past sins, and I shared this. Negative memories pondered long enough bring the emotions of the past into the present, which can dictate how you feel today. Self-condemnation runs rampant. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, I think, and I was just reading today in Hebrews this morning, and thinking, Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured or stayed under the cross, despising the shame, and hath sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the value of an object is determined by what somebody is willing to spend on it.
And I think about my life. I think about those who are in the ministry, haven't received Jesus yet. Are we valuable? What is our worth? Our worth is determined by what somebody is willing to spend on it. Now, God sees, we see the old yard with no grass on it and all dirty, but God sees the beautiful lawn with a nice fence with some more weed and feed on it. God sees a beautiful garden of people. Yeah, we're sinners. Yeah, we've fallen short of God's glory. Yeah, we deserve hell. But God sees and has in us that which he wants to build in us. And so John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And oftentimes we leave the next verse out. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so we can give you John 3:16, but then we always must have in our mind and our heart is that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth. And so that right there fuels me for the ministry, is knowing that everybody is precious to the Lord. Which ones are going to get saved? Which ones are going to die in their sins? I don't know. And so God doesn't tell me. So I have to just preach the gospel equally to everybody that I come across. Whether I'm in Safeway at the checking counter, you know. And she says, hey, how you doing today? I'm great because I love Jesus, man. You know, whatever it is. And get into conversations with people about Jesus. Now, to finish up here, I don't have my phone. Never mind. My buddy who's involved, I asked him, I said, what do you think the future of our country is? Where are we? And he said, not good. Now, God knows. God knows. And God can turn this around just like that. Ours is good because of the rapture. Yes, yes. And I'm excited about that. I'm really excited about that. Oh, Maranatha. But what breaks and saddens my heart is those who won't listen to me right now. Those who won't listen to me right now. The ones who are buying gold and silver and digging holes and putting their, storing their things and preparing for the worst and they have a form of godliness. You know, they're really trusting in this world's goods and their own self-efforts. And I'm telling you, yeah, we ought to be prepared. We just had a little earthquake. Well, what if that was a shaker and these things started breaking and we lost everything? You got enough food and water? Well, yeah, we need to prepare for devastating times. We do. Everybody in here should have a little something to last at least a couple, 3 weeks at home if you were stuck at home. You know, fuel, whatever. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 through 29. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heavens. Heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So, I don't know when the rapture is going to happen. I have a feeling because of the signs and things going on over in the Middle East and various countries coming together in alliances, it's never happened before. I would say that we're pretty close. I want to act as if it's today. You know, he could come like right now. And so, I want to be about his business doing things for the kingdom of God when that day comes. And, oh God, give me people to share the gospel with. People that are interested. People that are ready. But I have a feeling, and this is just my feeling, and I'm going to speak it. Speculation. I think there's going to come some tragic times and enough possibly to crush us. But we together as a body of Christ are here to encourage and strengthen each other so that we will be lights in the darkness. And I think darkness, there's a time of darkness coming. And there's going to be people coming to you and saying, what is going on? And you're going to be able to share with them the clear and concise gospel of Jesus Christ and possibly, hopefully, some prophetic things that have been coming true in our world, and that they might come to Jesus before it's too late, because none of us want to see any of our loved ones go through the tribulation. And we see it written, but we have no idea how bad it's really going to be. It's going to be terribly bad on this earth when God pours out his wrath. So hope that energizes you. I hope you got something out of it today. And love you all so much. I am totally inconvenienced. I don't like getting up in front of people. I don't like TV cameras. I'd rather just hide down there on 2nd Street, hanging out with the homeless people, loving on them with the love of Jesus. Now, there were years ago when I was at the Ronerville Assembly and different, man, I couldn't wait to get up in front of people. But today, I don't, to be honest with you, I just don't like this. I really don't. I don't. And Fred knows. I told Fred. So love you all. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, Lord, and your kindness and your love and your patience for each one of us, Lord. Lord, I pray that today that you would just supernaturally wrap your arms around us, that so close, Lord, that we might even sense your heartbeat, and breathe on us, Lord, the power of the Holy Ghost, that we might live upright lives before you and before man, that we might win a few more to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian, for letting me inconvenience you. And I'll be honest with you, and it's not always easy coming up here, but our God always stretches us and pulls us in a different directions. And for everyone that shares, God has purpose and meaning. And brother, thank you again, Bryce, for worshiping and leading us that. We'll get to see you in a couple weeks. Yeah. And continue to pray for Pastor Mark and Becky and their restoration process. And let's continue to love one another. Let's bless our Gideon brothers. And Dave and Ken will be out back there, so please go say hi to them. And then we have some desserts to fellowship with. Jesus is good. Thank you. Amen.